Well, joining me now for a look at the day's market moves is Caroline Kremen from Advice Works. Thanks so much, Caroline, for your time this evening. Let's get straight into it because we're on day two of this week and markets still very much on edge. We've got central bank action very much the theme for this week, it seems, with nothing else to really focus on. So talk us through how you're feeling about sentiment right now and whether the kind of tentativeness we're seeing is warranted.
Look, I think it is. You know, the central banks for the whole of this year have been telling people, look, inflation isn't as bad, it's not as bad. You know, and I think people have been looking at that, well, maybe they've got it wrong. I think even the central banks realize they've got it wrong now. But I think people are concerned because, you know, I think, and they're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place now, because if they do react to inflation, it's going to have a negative impact on the market. If they don't react against inflation by raising interest rates, there's the worry that people are going to think, well, they're not reacting now, so it's going to be worse down the line. So it's a behavioral thing right now. So it's difficult to see which part of the market the animal spirits are following from any point in time. I don't think there's pretty much anything that they can do that would make it right with the market apart from not surprising the market, because the market doesn't like surprises. Yeah. So at this point, we've got the feeling that the ECB is going to be relatively benign. We do know that the Fed is, well, we think that the Fed is going to say that they're going to, you know, carry on with their tapering program. And if they surprise us on one way or another, I think the market's going to react very, very badly.
Yeah. I ask because some of the commentators have said that tighter monetary policy, even though wasn't on the cards, is to a large extent priced into the markets already. And that's one thing to consider. The other thing to consider is the fact that this does mean we're starting to see economies slowly ticking. And adding impetus to that is that we've got economies opening up again as the worry around Omicron and its impact really subsides somewhat. So how do we filter that into the equation?
Yes, I'm not so sure that tighter monetary policy has been factored in. You know, I think to a large extent, a lot of people, if you look at some of the valuations until very recently, especially in the tech stocks, have, you know, they've just been climbing, even though we knew inflation was rising and interest rates are coming, and the market just ignored that for quite a long period of time. So I think there's been a bit of denial in the markets. And, you know, now at this time of the year when people are going away and they start to get panicky and they don't know, you start to think about 2022 and you think about your 2021 resolutions and predictions which haven't come to pass, you know, you do get a bit jittery.
Absolutely. Well, let's take a look at, what opening up of economies nevertheless means, and I'm trying to look at the glass half full here. It seems like those investors who delved into the resources counters today have been coming in with the same kind of view as well. We've had on the commodity scene, iron ore prices rise as a pledge by the Chinese government to focus on economic stability next year, really bolstering the demand outlook. So let's take a look at whether Fiona Bowles sees this rally continuing into next year before we get Caroline's perspective.
Iron ore has had a crazy run this year. I'm not sure anyone knows what to do with iron ore. Look, on the one side, I think, you know, signs last week out of China that they would be looking next year to focus on stabilizing the economy, which likely means additional stimulus, is probably a positive for iron ore. But how this property crisis plays out, I think in the short term is going to be a bigger driver.
So the kind of almost head fake rally that you had yesterday, mind you, it hasn't been dramatically unseated today. For 2022, if we do get a settling in this housing market in China, do you get a sense that they will restock? Or do they need to restock? What's the most important aspect of the market that I need to look at?
Certainly, I would be looking at stock levels, imports in China. I'd be looking at shipping issues, whether they've been fully resolved and whether it's actually possible to get the iron ore into the Chinese steelmakers. And then I'd be continuing to look at things like energy supply and China's commitment to reducing pollution. It's really quite a complicated picture when you try and sort of unravel the Chinese steel market.
That was the head of commodities and real assets at S&P Dow Jones, Fiona Bull. Caroline, let's get your perspective here, because like I say, despite the Omicron uncertainty, you've got government starting to focus on economic stability, you know, and that seems to be bolstering the resources complex for now, at least. How sustainable do you see this momentum being as we venture into 2022?
I think it's going to be sustainable for quite a while. A lot of that relates to the supply issues of numerous things. So if you look at the automobile market, for an example, you know, you might have had steel that you had to pay more for, you know, to build a car, but you couldn't build it because you didn't have semiconductors. So that's going to be pushed into 2022. So it's going to pull that supply. The supply issues are going to pull the need for these commodities, you know, well into 2022 and possibly even to the end of the year. The COVID virus, I think, you know, people are learning to live with it, unfortunately. You know, it is something that we're going to have to deal with. So, and even if there is a general lockdown, then steel producers can't produce, and it's going to push the price up further. So I don't see how they can actually lose at this point. But I think the supply issues and the requirements for little bits and pieces here and there are going to help that price.
Yeah. Talk us through how you're managing your exposure to that resources complex. It was the sector that did the bulk of the heavy lifting today, lending support of 0.7% higher, that climb coming through. But if you look at Sasol, worst performer on the top 40 index, down 6%. We've got Exxaro, Anglo Gold, BHP Group sitting at the Anglo American sitting at the top of the top 40 list in terms of performances instead. So it shows just how discerning you've got to be when you're in that space.
Yes, definitely discerning as far as Sasol goes, and diversified. You know, commodities form part of a portfolio. You can't have all your money in tech stocks. But coming back to Sasol, I think people know my opinion on Sasol. They always seem to find another way to actually, you know, disappoint. Well, the good thing is that we know there's not going to be a rights issue. But when I look at that, you know, that update from them about Secunda, you know, they talk about poor coal, operational issues, apparently a dam collapsed and it's created an issue. It's a kind of, but these are things surely that happen from time to time in this type of industry. So, you know, you sit and wonder, well, these are, okay, there are a lot of mishaps, but mishaps happen. Why does it affect the company so badly? Which, you know, and I think because of questions people had about management for a long period of time, when you see that type of update, which are normal operational hiccups that do happen, you start to worry again as to how the company is being managed. Maybe that's correct, maybe it's incorrect, but I think that was really a sentiment reaction today.
Okay. Well, you know, it's interesting to see the divergence that's come through between MTN and Sasol, because, you know, not so long ago we were looking at MTN, or some of our commentators calling MTN an oil stock more so than anything else. It was the top performer today. And I guess, yeah, operational fundamentals have to come into play and be in focus. But a rise of 5.6% coming through from for MTN. Now, how are you feeling about that stock right now?
Well, again, it's a higher risk stock, and simply because it is an oil stock by virtue of the fact that it operates in Nigeria. So that's where that came from. But interestingly enough, I think what either MTN or Nigeria said is they want to become the biggest 5G country in Africa, you know, just kind of something that South Africa should be having, but it's going to be Nigeria. If that does have support from the government, you know, that is supportive of MTN, who's going to be the first mover with the spectrum. And, you know, we've seen it here in South Africa. You know, you had your Vodacom, MTN, and very difficult for other networks to break in once you've actually got your claws into the services that 5G can actually provide you. So, yes, I still think it's a risky stock. It is a play on Africa. You've got to be careful about that, currency devaluations. But the growth potential is definitely there.
Yeah. Caroline, venturing into 2022, what is the biggest risk you've got front of mind right now? And what do you have in sights as far as opportunity is concerned?
I think that for me, there's two big risks. The one is obviously inflation. It's very difficult to say for central banks to monitor and have the appropriate monetary policy. So we don't know if they're going to do. It's really a throw of the dice at this point if they're acting responsibly enough, because they've got very little dry powder, to actually do anything if things go drastically wrong economically. I think the other big issue for me is really, and that's as big as it's ever been for me, is the geopolitical risk. China is definitely flexing its muscles. There are tensions between China and the rest of the world. There's tensions between Russia and the rest of the world. They've literally got the ability to turn off the lights in Europe. So I think you're going to probably see these geopolitical tensions come to the fore and, create those almost black swan events as opposed to economic issues driving the market.
Yeah. Opportunity. You focused on the negative again. We want some positive, Caroline.
look, I think the opportunities are there. And I always say that when a market falls, I don't get particularly depressed. Maybe clients do. But the reality is it does create opportunities for you to buy really good companies that fall a lot. So these will be always opportunities. We're going to have a lot of those next year. I think for 2 years, I don't think we knew we were coming or going, but I do see that there'll be events next year in the various sectors will actually allow you to actually please put some of these nice companies into your portfolio, the blue chips, the big tech stocks. And it's been a volatile period, but things do calm down. People will get, inflation is not the end of the world. The market will learn to deal with it and use the opportunities to build a great portfolio.
So give us something a little bit more specific. What's your stock pick right now?
Yeah, well, I'm going to go for PayPal. I think you could almost bring all the tech stocks up and kind of throw a dartboard and pick them that way. But I'm picking PayPal because it really is 40% off its high. It is the dominant electronics payments platform. And simply because of the sell-off and the fact that the market is coming off now, it is giving you a great opportunity to buy the share. You really shouldn't be focusing on the short term with these types of companies. You need to look, 3, 4, 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line. These are massive companies. They're also maturing companies. So while their growth is slowing, it's still very high. It's close to 20%. So these are behemoths. They're going to be here in 10 years. They're going to be multiples of the size they are at the moment. And they're going to be ultimately mature into steady cash flow producing companies. You want these in your portfolios.
On that note, let's leave it there. Caroline, thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. Of course, Caroline Kremen is with AdviceWorks.